أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعض الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون صدق الله العظيم. Ulama Ikram, most respected brothers and also sisters at the madrasa and those listening over receivers. Last week or a fortnight ago we had a slight tremor and it shook up many buildings. Many people ran out of their block of flats and we all know that right from Maputo the effects of that were felt in Durban, Johannesburg, and further in other parts of Africa. Now that was just a very, very mild shake-up. We have heard of the major disasters around the world where whole buildings disappeared, complete hotels, no sign of them left anymore. Hundreds of thousands of people departed from the world. So it is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's system, it is His Nizam. But His beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given us the causes for every action. There is some cause. Whatever a'mal we send up, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala makes a decision according to those a'mal. And many times I have mentioned that Allah Ta'ala is not looking at the kuffar, the mushrikeen, Yahud and Nasara. They are going to commit sins. They are not Muslims. They don't believe in Allah Ta'ala. They reject the Day of Judgment. They reject belief in the Prophets of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. They don't believe in the Quran Sharif. So the first thing that they have to do is accept Iman, bring Islam. Otherwise, in this world, to some extent, they will enjoy themselves. And then Qiyamah Day, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will deal with them. So if they are enjoying any goodness in this world, it is because of the believers. The believers, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has created the universe for their benefit. Others are benefiting because of the believers. The day there will be no believer left on the surface of this earth, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is going to destroy the universe. So we must not keep looking at them, that they are committing so much of sins, they are doing this, they are doing that, and nothing is happening to them, and so many of them are enjoying so much of prosperity, we say. They're winning millions of dollars. We must look at the actions of the Ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah Ta'ala deals according to the actions of the Ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. When the Ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will be obedient to Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam and restrain themselves from haram, from sins, from vices, from evil, and they will fulfill the commands and the instructions and orders given by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam, then everybody will enjoy peace, everyone will enjoy happiness, Allah Ta'ala will change the conditions. And this is not something that is impossible. It has happened. If it has happened once, it can happen again. The Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhu majma'in, every little child also who does Islamic history in the schools and madrasas, they know what the conditions were in Arabia prior to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's coming. Killing, murders, looting, rape, arson, adultery, fornication, burying of young daughters alive, things that are unimaginable they were engaging in. But thereafter the time came when the whole of Arabia was so peaceful. Right from the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam up till the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, some historians have said that only 6 hands were cut. Only 6 hands. So those who say that stealing, if you're going to start cutting hands, there will be no hands left. So that is because of our situation. But look at when the changes came, when they believed in Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when they believed in the Akhirah, the Day of Judgment, and when they gave up their sins and they became pious and righteous and God-fearing and God-conscious, so then there was no need for policemen, there was no need for any kind of the supervision and monitoring and all the big, big jails and massive correctional service institutions, as they call them. There was no need for that. Every person's conscience was now his policeman. And the whole change came about. A person could walk peacefully. And as I always say, that even up till now, after 1400 years, in spite of all the increase in crime that has taken place around the world, and even in Makkah Sharif and Madinah Sharif compared to in the past, the television has brought all that mischief even there. Things are happening there which never happened in the past. But in spite of that, still, where in the world would you find a small little shop in the corner there with dollars, pounds, and all world currencies, and the person has got one small tuppenny, halfpenny lock, as they call it. It's 5 cent lock on that door. He puts it and goes away for namaz, and he's sitting there and he's cashing and exchanging money. Can you do that in South Africa? So up till now, there are some signs of that peace and security and contentment and satisfaction that the people of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's time enjoyed. Imagine after 1400 years, we are seeing still some effects of that. So what a kind of change must have come. What a kind of revolution. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has given us warnings that when you are going to indulge in these type of sins, and we are talking about the majority, then you must be ready, you must be prepared for these kind of disasters. So we have discussed some hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, some ahadiths we have discussed. Now there is one hadith that I did discuss some time back, but only about half of it, and we could not complete it, and I thought we'll continue the following week, and we never did. But it is related to the same thing, so therefore I will repeat today without going into any detailed explanation. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu is the one who has reported this hadith, and Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, إِذَا فَعَلَتْ أُمَّتِي خَمْسَ عَشَرَةَ خَسْلَةً حَلَّ بِهَا الْبَلَاءِ That when my ummah is going to indulge, by way of explanation, when my ummah is going to indulge in 15 kinds of sins, then azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, different kinds of balas, different kinds of musibat, different kinds of hardships and disasters and all, will then rain upon them. It will come down. Azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will then come upon the ummah when they are going to indulge in these 15 sins. Of course, different kinds of sins will bring different kind of azab, but these 15 Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned in this particular hadith. قِيلَ وَمَا هِيَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ said, Ya Rasool Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what are those 15 things? قال Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, إِذَا كَانَ الْمَغْنَمُ دَوْلًا وَالْأَمَانَةُ مَغْنَمًا وَالزَّكَاةُ مَغْرَمًا Three things first. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that when war booty, when there is jihad and there is war booty, then there is a whole system of distribution of that war booty. But he says when that will become like personal wealth, that person will consider that as his personal wealth. That means he's not going to bother about giving it to the Amir of the time or for distribution or hand it in first and then get his share of it, nothing. If there was some jihad, some war, some battle somewhere, then whatever they grab, everybody will be free for all. The person will take it and he'll say it's mine. And then the second thing is amanat. Amanat will become like war booty. The people who will be trustees of estates, or they will be trustees of masajid, of madaris, they will be trustees of institutions, trustees of different organizations, or they will be in parliament, they will be in cabinet, wherever they will be, where they will be handling funds, which is an amanat, which will be a trust. So that trust will be regarded as war booty. Finish, free for all again. How true what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said. Does anybody really bother about the government treasury, that this is public wealth? Public have contributed to this treasury. Their taxes are here. So therefore it must be used carefully. It must not, there must be no corruption, there must be no abuse. Does anybody worry about that today? Say in India there was election. So one candidate that stood for election, so he was very honest, very truthful. You compliment him for that. Because it was the third time that he was standing for election. Two terms he had already stood for election. So he said, look, brothers, let me tell you the truth. The first time when I stood for election, then that was for myself, for my own home, for my own business, for my own pet, for my own self. I'll be very honest that first time that I stood for election, it was all about myself. So that I succeeded in. I had got a very good home, good car, plenty of wealth. The second time that I stood for election, it was for my family. So they also I succeeded. That I gave a lot of contracts to my family, built homes for them, and did everything that I could as a member of parliament and cabinet minister for them. Now this is the third time. So if you are not going to vote for me, and you're going to vote for the other person, he's standing for the first time. So he's going to first start off with himself, then the second election for his family, and then after that he'll work for you. But this is the third election, and I assure you, I guarantee you, and I swear in the name of God, that this time I'm going to serve you. So you rather vote for me. So that is the haqiqat and the reality today. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that trust property will become like war booty, finish. وَالزَّكَاتُ مَغْرَمًا Zakat will be considered as a fine. The person finds it difficult to pay a fine, traffic fine, or any other fine that is imposed, then the person doesn't like to pay fines. It's his nature. Which person likes to pay fines? If the taxman catches somebody and imposes a very heavy fine, does anybody like to pay that? So zakat, which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala kept as an ibadat, and so much of promises have been made by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala of replacing that which he has given as zakat. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has promised to give that person plentiful, give barakat in his rizq, to protect the wealth which is still left behind. And then again Allah ta'ala is only taking 2.5%. Of course there are different nisabs of different things, but when it comes to wealth, gold, silver, so we say 2.5%. 97.5% is still with that person, but he's finding it very, very difficult. And he says this is like a tax. And some people actually say that. And in fact, I heard it with my own ears in Mina, whilst we were in the rooms there. One person actually said this, Maulana, I don't pay zakat, because we pay, that time was GST. So we pay GST, we pay this tax, we pay that tax, and we pay income tax, and we pay so many different kinds of taxes. And on all that, we must again pay zakat tax. Exactly what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam means. Zakat will be considered as some kind of tax or fine. So, that is the third thing that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned. I don't want to go into any detailed explanation. We're going to cover up the 15 inshallah tonight. وَأَطَاعَ الرَّجُلُ زَوْجَتَهُ وَأَقَّ أُمَّهُ Meaning this, that the person will obey his wife. As far as his wife is concerned, he will be very obedient to her. He'll fold his hands before her and say, any command of yours, I am at your command. But when it comes to his mother, then he will disobey her. Mothers will be disobeyed and wives will be obeyed. Now again here we have to be very, very careful. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam themselves have given rights of the wives and rights of the mothers. The mothers must not be so possessive that they demand from the children those rights which Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam have not given to them. They must not violate the ahkam of Sharia also. They can demand the rights which Sharia has given to them. In the same way, Allah Ta'ala Himself has given rights to the wives. So the husband is obliged to fulfill the rights of the wives too and of the mothers too. But where the person is unconcerned about the mother, from day one the person is abusive to his mother after marriage. One young person told me that he went to go and see one girl with the intention of marriage. So the question she asked him, that do you have garbage bag in your house? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Now what will this wife who is calling the mother-in-law to be a garbage bag from now, will she ever obey or will she ever fulfill the rights of that mother-in-law? So extremes must be avoided. There must be a total balance. The mother also must be happy if the husband and wife are happy. In many cases, it seems that even the mothers are not happy when the husband and wife are united and happy. So that is also another extreme. Then why else did they get the children married? The mothers must treat their daughter-in-laws like their own daughters. Daughters are also sometimes reprimanded, sometimes scolded, but they don't put up a big performance. But of course, not these days. But nevertheless, so they must be treated like daughters. And the daughter-in-laws must treat their mother-in-laws like mothers. Then see, there will be such happiness. Those homes will be jannat on earth, as I keep saying, even if the mother-in-law is living together. Although I have mentioned this many times, and I have no hesitation in mentioning it again, even though mother-in-laws may not like me, that it is better and it is recommended that if it is possible, then separate them from the very beginning. Let the children live on their own, but living on their own does not mean that now they became masters of themselves. It means that they must keep that contact, they must keep coming, they must keep consulting, they must live happily, they must frequent visits to their parents, and it must be a mutual relationship. The reason for that separation is not to create enmity or divorce them from each other. That separation is for the sake of happiness and unity. Because you just can't seem to get anywhere these days when they live together. So from the beginning, if they live like that, but as long as they take into consideration those parents, the wife does not keep on, as they use the word, chadawing the husband. Now these words have to be included in the Oxford Dictionary, in the new edition, because they are very commonly used nowadays. So she must not do that. And in the same way, the husband also, he must treat the parents of the wife as his own parents. The moment the person gets married, he has got two fathers and he's got two mothers. The wife has got two fathers and two mothers. And if everybody fulfills each other's rights, then there will be peace and harmony. So here when what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is referring to is where the husband is violating the right of the mother. He is disobeying her. He is ignoring her completely. He is abusing her. So he said, this is what will happen, and it is happening. That for the sake of the wives in many places, the mothers are abused. So now that is one of the sins which will bring about these kind of disasters. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in this ahadith, the Quran Sharif itself, how much of rights of parents have been mentioned. They are not to be treated like footballs, to be kicked around and booted around. Of course, I say that most of the times these days is the parents who are to be blamed, because they want the children to watch all the filth on the television screen together with them. They take them to all the wrong places. There's no salat in that home. There's no Quran recitation in those homes anymore. The day begins with watching the news on the television early part of the morning. First thing they do is start with the news. Whether it is BBC, whether it is CCN or CNN, or whatever it is they are listening to, and all the other news stations. So no tilawat of the Quran Sharif, there's no muzikrullah, there's no communication, there is no discussion of any healthy nature. As soon as they come from work, then the television is on. While they're eating the food also, they're watching the television. And after that, they go to bed watching the television. It is happening in so many homes. Children are complaining, there is just no communication. So then we blame ourselves. But if they are given the proper education, proper upbringing, then inshallah they will respect those parents. They will go out of their way for those parents. They will say, my parents are my best friends. They will discuss with them. Those homes will be so beautiful a place to live in, where children are all around the table together with the parents, and this healthy discussion taking place. So this is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, that the person will obey his wife and he will disobey his mother. So it should not be extremes. There must be a balance, total balance, fulfill the rights of the wife too and of the mother too. Wabarra sadiqahu wa jafa aba. Again, what it means is that with friends, they'll be like, welcome, welcome, eat, drink, have braai, have this, have that, have roast, have toast, have everything. But when it comes to the fathers, they'll be distanced. Injustice will be done to the father. They don't want the father to be seen anywhere around. They will distance themselves, they will disobey, they will be unjust. So that is another thing that will happen. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, when these 15 things happen, then you must await those disasters. So he says that this, that they will be very, very friendly when it comes to friends. And we can see this is how common it is. That the moment a young person gets on his feet, gets a little bit of money, gets a car, gets a cell phone, and gets some kind of status, finish. After that, he doesn't want to see the father. In those days, and this is a true incident, that one person, he sold his land. They had to sell their land, they had to sell jewelry, they had to do what, to send the children for education. So he sold his land, and he sold some animals, cows, ox, whatever they had, cattle, and sent his son to England. He became a barrister. When he returned from there, of course, he was in a different world now. He was in a different league. He was ashamed to be seen amongst the poor of his family when he came back to India. He did not want to even recognize his own father. So when he came back, he threw a big party, invited his friends, invited everybody. But he didn't call his father, because the father was an old person now, wearing simple clothes. In India, he didn't have a good shoe, and he was not found to be suitable for that gathering, so he didn't invite him. Now, while these people were enjoying themselves, having a good meal, the father took a walk slowly and came into the gathering. So somebody asked this son, who had graduated and come from England now, because those days if a person had an England degree, then he was somebody. So he asked that, who's this old man? So he said, no, this old man is my father's friend. He felt it hard and difficult to say he's my father. So he said, he's my father's friend. So the old man also was very sharp. He said, no, he made a little mistake. I'm his mother's friend. He said, I'm not his father's friend. I'm his mother's friend. So that is what happened. Then those worms get into the head. They said, dimag mein phir kide pad jate hai. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, وَأَطَاعَ الرَّجُلُ زَوْجَتَهُ وَأَقَّ أُمَّهُ وَبَرَّ صَدِيقَهُ وَجَفَى أَبَاهُ وَارْتَفَعَتِ الْأَصْوَاتُ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ. This is something that is so common, noise in the masajid. So many places, immediately after nikah, therefore we also have to have our nikah in the sehenge. Because noise in the masajid. Now they are waiting to meet the groom, embrace him and shake hand, and now you have to stand in the queue for that. So in the meantime, the person is talking all worldly things in the masjid. And noise. Then again, there are so much of quarrels. Sometime in some places, or in some places, they have elections in the masajid. And they say, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's masjid, everything took place from the masjid. So therefore our AGM and all our meetings must also take place in the masjid. Very good, alhamdulillah. They know a lot of history. But then compare the Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhum ajma'in with us. Did they start arguments like we argue in our AGMs and in our elections, and calling people names and abusive language and sometimes vulgar language and sometimes even swear words in the masajid? And sometimes it even goes to the extent of pulling out guns in the masajid. So don't use that. So noise in the masajid. In the masjid, only necessary talk. To find out how you are feeling, that person who was sick is in the hospital, what's his state now, or something that is relevant, it is permissible, a little bit of talk of that nature in the masjid. But all worldly discussions and talk about sample, what's the latest that has arrived after your trip to China and Hong Kong and here and there, what's the latest samples you have brought and where can I meet you, and where can we see them? Now all those things must be totally avoided in the masajid. So he said, Vartafati laswatu fil masajid. Noise and shout and screaming and everything in the masajid. Or loud voices in the masajid. Wakana za'imul qawmi arzalahum. The person of the lowest character, the person who has got no morals at all, the person who has got no kind of discipline in his own life, he's got no akhlaq, he's got no deen in him, za'imul qawm, he will become za'imul qawm, he will become like the leader of the people, the one who is razil, the person who has got nothing, no akhlaq, no ilm, no, he's got jahalat, but they will become the leaders of the community. Again, if you look around the world, we don't seem as look at one small sample of community somewhere. Look around the world, what kind of people are coming into leadership positions? Into leadership positions in parliaments, in cabinets and all. Some places, those who are dancers, naked dancers, but because of their popularity, when they stand for election, they get more votes. Film actors, film actresses, people who are drunkards, people who are in corruption, people who are in adultery and fornication, those who are womanizing and gambling and everything. But they use all their money and they stand for election and they are voted in. Zayimul qawm. They will become Zayimul qawm. Arzalam. Then if you look at our organizations and all that, who is elected in those positions? We say that this person, he holds a very high position in a certain football club. So therefore must appoint him the chairman of the masjid society. Now what has football club got to do with masjid society? So this is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned. وَأُكْرِمَ الرَّجُلُ مَخَافَةَ شَرِّهِ. In other words, a person is not going to be respected because of his akhlaq, because of his ilm, because of his character, because of his service to the community, because of his ibadat, zikr, tilawat, nothing. The person is not going to be respected for that. The person is going to be respected makhafata sharri. You are fearing that if I am not going to show any respect to this person, then he is going to cause mischief. He can cause harm. He can bring about destruction in my life. He can dismiss me from the job. The person is being respected because you are fearing. It's like how a person says, I'm respecting the lion in the Kruger National Park. And when he sees a cheetah or when he sees a wolf or something, he says, I'm respecting it. So is he respecting it? He's actually afraid of it. So here the person will be afraid of the mischief of the person and therefore he's going to make salam to him. Therefore he's going to stand up for him. Therefore he's going to feed him. Therefore he's going to entertain him. Because if he is not given that kind of entertainment, then he is going to cause mischief, he is going to cause trouble, he is going to cause problem. Again, how true it is, how true whatever Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has said. How many people, this is why we have to respect them. Because we fear their mischief, we fear their harm. وَشُرِبَتِ الْخُمُورِ. Well, drinking has become so common, as I mentioned last week also, that now Muslim countries brag about the sale of liquor at their airports. They brag about it. You will read it in the newspaper that we won an award for the largest sale of alcohol. So how many Muslims must be drinking? How many Muslims? On the other hand, if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives hidayat, then one Brazilian, he came here and he took that book, Kicking the Habit, and we had some discussion on Islam. And when he went back, then he sent me a photograph of a cabinet of his, which was filled with bottles of liquor, wine, brandy, whatever it was. And he says, I had a collection of liquor, wine, brandy, the best that I could buy when I should travel around the globe and world. The best that I could buy, I used to bring it across and I used to keep it. And I one day wanted to throw a nice big party and a bash because it was matured somewhere, 20-year-old, 15-year-old, 10-year-old bottles. He says, but after reading your book and after having the discussion with you, He says, I got rid of all my liquor, alcohol, wine, brandy and all that. People thought I'm gone mad, and my family thought my doctor must have said, now you mustn't drink anymore, or something went wrong with me, I require some kind of a treatment. But now look, Allah Ta'ala gave that person hidayat, he got rid of everything. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, well, shuribatil khumur, walubis al harir, people will wear pure silk, menfolk. Then musical instruments and musical girls, singing girls will be hired and musical instruments will be made. Common, it will become very, very common. This again I explained many times that in those days they had to actually hire singing girls and dancing girls as they do even up till today. But Shaitan has made it so easy for us today that just one flick of a switch and you got singing and dancing girls from all over the world. So this will become very common. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, go to all the homes, or the majority of the homes today, where do they not watch these type of things on the television screens? وَلُعِنَ آخِرُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ أَوَّلَهَا. And the people that are coming in latter times, they will curse, they will abuse, they will call all sorts of names those who came before them. أَيْمَيَ مُجْتَهِدِينَ, the fuqaha, the jurists, the muhaddisin, the mufassirin, the awliya-i siddiqeen, the sahaba-i kiram radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. Now all these people, there will be such abuse, they will be condemned, such kind of statements will be made about them. Nauzubillah, nauzubillah, if you have to read the literature of the Shias, what kind of statements you get about the sahaba-i kiram radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. In one of the books, it was written there that if you have to look into the eyes of Sayyidatina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, I am saying that Sayyidatina, otherwise they say that if you have to look into the eyes of Aisha, na'uzubillah, 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 it says that you will see the fire of Jahannam in eyes. Now this is what they say. Hazrat Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu will be taken out and they will be whipped on the day of Qiyamah for their opposition, and what they write. So Sahaba-i Kiram radiallahu anhu ajma'in, they do not leave. And others will condemn all the people of the past who were great, great walis and great companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, etc. So when these things will happen, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, at that time you must await gale force winds, shake up of the earth, that means earthquakes. This is what you must then await. And also, وَخَصْفًا أَوْ مَسْخًا, that there will be complete metamorphosis, transformation. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will change the faces of those people at that time, some people, into that of monkeys or pigs, as we discussed. And in another hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam added a few other things. For example, he said that when ilm, the knowledge of deen, will not be gained for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. The maqsad, the purpose of gaining the knowledge of deen, will not be the pleasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, or to practice upon that knowledge. That what they will gain will be so that they may gain some kind of worldly wealth through it. There will be no practice. In one hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam even mentioned that when all these things will happen, which I just discussed, then you must await the disasters coming, like how a tasbih, if you have to snap the cord, then how the beads fall one after the other, one after the other. That is how disasters will come. Now, any of these things do we find non-existent in the world? Now these things which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, I didn't go into detailed discussion, otherwise each hadith or each part of this hadith you can go to discussion of hours. But if you have to look around, we can see that all these things are happening. It has become so common. So then if disasters have also become frequent, then what are we surprised about? So what should we do then? How long are we going to listen? How long are we going to say that we must carry on with our own style and our own lives, and our homes can still continue in that same fashion and that same pattern? We are still going to watch all the filth there in our homes. We are still going to display all those things that are haram. We are still going to do all those things that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned in this hadith, which brings this type of disasters. If we say that, so then we must blame ourselves. But since we know that this has now become so common, so therefore we must not be negligent, we must not be heedless. We must not show indifference. We must not show a kind of complete indifference to these ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. That he mentioned it, well, it must have happened some time back, but it can't happen now, or it's not true, na'uzubillah. It is happening and it will happen. And whatever he has said, it is the truth and nothing but the truth. If somebody says that this masjid where we are, at one time there was a big lake here and it dried up and then they built up the masjid, we can believe things like that. If they say there was a huge mountain but no more now, they did away with the mountain and they built a highway there, we can believe it. Lots of places, there were big, big mountains and no more mountains there. But if anyone says that what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned or said, it is not the truth, it won't happen, then that is definitely off. Whatever he said will happen, and as he mentioned it. But I repeat that many a times it so happens that the person gives some charities or he did some other good deed, and because of that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala withdraws that punishment for some time. But since it is happening so frequently now, we should not be caught in any kind of haram action. Look at how deaths are coming these days. There's no more question of being 50, 60, 70, 80. Those who saw 70s and 80s, they're lucky. Young boys, fit, healthy. Within seconds, they're gone from the surface of this earth. Of course, many of them become shaheed. They've been shot and killed, they become shaheed. But what if the person has to lose his life in adultery, in fornication, or watching some filth, or engaging in some other kind of haram, then what? May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protect us all. Inshallah, Thursday night we'll have our zikr program. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Rabbana zolamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin. Oh my beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, my Kareem Allah, most forgiving Allah, most compassionate, loving, caring, beautiful Allah. Forgive each and every one of us. Indeed, we are most sinful servants on the surface of this earth. Ya Allah, we are indulging in all these type of sins which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned. Ya Allah, we know that we have become deserving of your azab. We know we have become deserving of your punishment. Ya Allah, if you order the earth to shake beneath our feet and swallow each and every one of us, if you send the gale force wind against us, if you send the flood waters against us, Ya Allah, we know that it will be justified. But my beloved Allah, we also know that something that is beloved to you is the forgiveness of the sins of the sinners when they turn towards you with repentance. Ya Allah, we are not bragging about our sins. We are indeed ashamed of our sins. Hum gunegar hai, siyakar hai, badkar hai, mujrim hai, khatakar hai. Hum sab kuch hai, bande magar tere hai. Mere maula, tujhe chhod ke hum gande jaye kahan. Where do we go, my beloved Allah? We have indeed distanced ourselves from deen, from Quran, from sunnah, from sharia. But my Allah, we are ashamed. We are regretting, we are expressing remorse, we are turning towards you. Ya Allah, we believe that you have power and the qudrat to change the condition of our lives. Ya Allah, hamare dilo ka hal badal de. If you change the condition of the Sahaba-e-Kiram radiyallahu anhu ajma'in, they came from the backgrounds of kufr, of shirk, somewhere from the Nasara, somewhere from the Yahud, somewhere from the Munafiqeen. But Ya Allah, they became radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. What a transformation, what a change, my beloved Allah. What is it difficult for you to change the condition of our lives? Ya Allah, bless us with good health, prosperity, happiness, contentment, satisfaction. Ya Allah, bless us with istiqamat on our deen. Bless us with your qurb, with your closeness, with your marifat, with yaqeen in you, with tawakkul in you. Bless us with your love and the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those who are sick and ailing, give them complete shifa from all ailments, sicknesses, diseases. Ya Allah, we are spiritually sick, we are physically ill. Cure us from all our ailments, diseases and sicknesses. Unite the hearts of husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, family members, and the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Ya Allah, give the tawfiq to the children to respect and honor their parents. And the tawfiq to the parents to give proper bringing to their children. My beloved Allah, those who are suffering depression, give them joy and happiness. Those who are in financial difficulties, bless them with plentiful of halal wealth and remove their difficulties. Those who are in journey, make them reach their destination safely. Ya Allah, when the angel of death visits us, don't let him find us in any kind of haram action. Take us to Madina Tayyibah. Bless us with death in Madina Tayyibah. Burial in Jannatul Baqi. Bless us with barakat in our homes, our lives, our properties, our wealth. Protect us, protect the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Protect the Haramain Sharifain, protect our masajid and all dini works and institutions. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, all his life he made duas for us. Ya Allah, bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us. Bless the ummah with that goodness and from all the mischief, corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, especially that of the Dajjal. Ya Allah, protect us and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, you are well aware of the desires that are in the hearts of the people who have raised their hands before you this part of the night. Ya Allah, whatever good desires, aspirations, wishes they have, fulfill those good wishes and desires. Ya Allah, you are well aware of the hardship, the difficulties, the problems that the individuals are facing who have raised their hands this part of the night before you. Ya Allah, remove their difficulties, hardships and problems. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى خَيْرِ خَلْقِهِ سَيِّدِنَا وَنَبِيِّنَا وَشَفِيعِنَا وَمَوْلَانَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِهِ وَأَصْحَابِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ.